You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
After failing to meet expectations in a big way this past season, the Flyers have seemingly handed over the baton to the 76ers Sunday night as they crushed any hope the city had left. Join the boys as we talk about who's worse, Nolan Patrick or Ben Simmons.
Carry on by Claude Giroux. Giroux holding, gets around in front.
Decision.
Hey, everybody. I'm your host with the most, Joe Gazarian, and I'm slowly recovering from the Sixers' loss Sunday. I didn't really have any hope after they blew the 26-point lead. I kind of figured, like, you know what, this is probably not going to end well. But tough look for the boys, man. Joel Embiid, goddamn, he's so good. I really hope we don't waste him. I really hope we get the right pieces around him and soon, because he's not due for a long, lengthy career. He's got to be. The championship window is now, just like this Flyers team. Championship window is now, and the Sixers might actually be closing a little bit. But how are you guys doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I think we're all having busy weeks here at work, but I'm Matt Arenick, and like you said, Joe, I was reminded pretty quickly this past week why I do not watch the Sixers or basketball in general. Blowing that lead, just how, like, I don't even, like, I followed basketball growing up, and I just still have no idea how it's, like, referees call the game. It is the most incredible thing I've ever watched in terms of what's a foul, what's not a foul.
Yeah, basketball is, I mean, the shift from basketball to hockey and vice versa is, like, tough. Because one is, I mean, they're usually parallel seasons, right? So when the Flyers get bounced or don't make the playoffs, we turn to the Sixers and vice versa. So I'm Mike Zawisza, and I don't know what was tougher, watching Ben Simmons pass up an easy dunk in the fourth quarter, or watching Ben Simmons pass up an easy dunk while having a sinus infection. So I think one definitely tops the other. But also, I want to note, Joe, I do not endorse that tagline from the beginning. That was not written by yours truly. It's a Joe Gazarian special right there.
What was the tagline? What did I say?
The who's worse.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that was that's me. I wrote that.
Oh,
yeah,
it was Matt
who wrote it.
God.
Listen, I endorse it. I'll take it. I'll roll with it. I don't care. We have a little fun just before we really get into the pod. We're going to talk about the Sixers for a little bit just because, you know, we all watch. So we'll talk about the Sixers. We'll do a little, as much as we do like a Flyers armchair GM, we'll do like a little Sixers talk, maybe a little Sixers armchair GM, see what Daryl Morey's got cooking. And then we'll get into some Flyers talk and some hockey talk right after. But before we jump into it, Matt, you want to take us through a word from our sponsor, my friend?
Yes, I do. So DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but also America's top-rated sportsbook. I love using DraftKings Sportsbook. It is easy to navigate, has plenty of instructions for new bettors, and nearly limitless ways to get in on all the action. My friends and family have been loving DraftKings Sportsbook, and I know you will too. Listen to this great offer. DraftKings Sportsbook is putting you courtside with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in site credits. That's right. Pick any basketball team that is still in contention. Bet $1. And if the team wins, you will win $100 in site credits. Don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook also offers great odds and promotions on baseball, hockey, and so much more all week long. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code THPN for a limited time. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be older, 21 years or older, in New Jersey, Indiana, or PA only. New customers only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Matt, I'm proud of you because you stuck with it. Unlike just abandoning
your
chance at a shot or anything like that, you stuck
unlike
with
abandoning
it.
Your opportunity to dunk a wide open.
Yeah. Let's talk about that real
clear
quick.
Dunk. Clear dunk.
I have in 20. I'm gonna be 27 in August. In all my years, I have never seen anything quite like that, where he is wide open at the basket, and Ben just. He throws it off to Thybulle, who's guarded. I've never seen anything like it. His confidence must have been so shaken that he just was terrified. They need to get him to a sports psychologist ASAP. I'm sure. First of all, if you're a major sports franchise, you should probably have one on retainer, just because that's a really great asset to have. But holy cow! Let's hear your Sixers thoughts, boys, real quick. We're not going to spend a ton of time on this, but. It is Philadelphia sports still, so.
I like Shaq's comment about how he seemingly would.
I turned the game off right after. I was like, I cannot listen to anybody.
He pretty much insinuated if he was in the locker room, he would have knocked Ben Simmons out.
Jesus Christ. Well,
yeah, I believe that. That does sound like Shaq.
I'm not endorsing like actual violence, but I do feel as though like in today's sports, there really is, for the most part, like missing that like I don't know, that type of leadership where you kind of like get in someone's face and not in like a bad way. It's kind of meant to push you. I feel like we've coddled as a city, right? Like you look back to who was the other guy who forgot how to play basketball?
Fultz.
Like we coddled him for how long? And then he goes off and like bad mouths us. Like same with Ben Simmons. Like we are trying to support him while he's making free throws. Like, we're talking about a first overall pick on a max contract who we are essentially like giving a participation trophy to for making a free throw while being like 6'11".
It's called a charity stripe.
Where you can almost seemingly reach out and drop the ball in the net from the free throw line. It's crazy. I mean, he's statistically the worst free throw shooter having played 70-plus games in the offseason. He's worse than Shaq. Like
that's
in your
insane.
Point guard. That's and, doesn't even
and then,
it's good company.
Yeah.
That's
go ahead, Mike. What are your thoughts?
I think that I mean to kind of piggyback off what Matt said, I think it is funny, like they kind of did like play tough with them. By they I mean some of the Sixers after the game, like Joel Embiid's comments were
poignant.
I mean, as about as pointed as you can get. I mean, that's if there's ever a post-game press conference line that has like basically said either move this guy or get him to figure it out. I mean, that's it. And then to, you know, add on Doc's comments too, which I mean, Doc is,
he was his biggest defender,
One of the greatest coaches in modern basketball history, probably will go down as one of the best coaches in basketball history. Like, for him to straight up say that he doesn't know if he's, you know, championship caliber, like that's, I don't really know what you can say after that point. I mean, when I was watching that game, I really thought that they had it after they finally brought it all the way back, and they took like a 4-point lead. It was like their biggest lead of the night or something like that, 4 or 6. And I was like, oh my God, like, I think that they got this because they were fighting. They were really battling. They wasn't pretty, but they're playing defense well. Trae Young was ice cold up until the final, whatever, 2 minutes where he just started draining threes. Yeah. They were battling. They were playing hard defense. They weren't getting shots to go, but they were getting timely ones. And I was like, oh, man, like, they're going to battle through this. This is going to be one of those games that you need to have over the course of a long playoff run, one that you, you know, you fight through. Your talent, you know, takes a backseat to the hard work. And it looked like they were going to, you know, be in the clear, and then Ben just backed down. Like, he just backed down. There's no other way to say it. And you could see, like, you could hear the energy in the building go out.
Oh,
you
could see all the air went out of the building.
All the air. You could see all the looks on the players' faces, like, on the Sixers. Joel.
Did you see the ISO on him?
He looked like he had, like, the 1,000-yard stare after the fact. And then, like, and the worst part of it for me was watching the Hawks players after they came down and scored and Doc used the timeout after the, you know, the free throw. They were going back to their own, you know, sideline, like, laughing and like joking around. Meanwhile, the Sixers looked like they were spent, and like that was it. The Hawks knew that, you know, one team just backed down and it wasn't us. So I mean, that was tough to watch, especially considering this team was near flawless for the majority of the year.
They were the one seed.
One seed.
Not an accident.
Ben had a great year in the regular season. Looked, you know, pretty solid. Joel, MVP caliber season. They were getting contributions, and yeah, I mean, that's just, it's, there's more reasons that that series was lost, but I mean, I think that they really got to explore moving off from Ben Simmons and kind of like going the way a lot of teams do with their stars. Like, all right, who do you think you need around you, or who do you think you can work with? Like, I'll start off the armchair GM thing if you guys want. Like, my brother and I joke about it all the time, but Steph Curry in Philly? I mean, come on.
That'd be amazing, but I don't know if you could... you know what? We do have Seth, so, like,
you got Seth.
You want to come with your brother.
He and Joel are great friends.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
You know what? As far as armchair GM goes, that's a fantastic one to throw out
there. I get a Steph Curry jersey immediately if he comes to...
Oh, 100%.
If he comes to Philly. Yeah.
What about you, Matt? Give me one.
Dude, I don't know anything about basketball, but... My roommates had been talking, like, Damian Lillard would be an option. Yeah. They were discussing, obviously, a lot would have to be traded in return to get him. But they pretty much mentioned to me that, like, which makes sense, like, Ben Simmons scoring, I think he had, like, 4 shot attempts or something like that across all the games in the fourth quarter. And he's scoring, like, 4 and 6 points and, like, do-or-die situations on a max contract. Like, you're seemingly saying you gave a max contract to a defensive specialist. Like, that would be, like, paying the max to, like, a good defensive defenseman, I feel like, in the NHL. And then you're trying to move him. Like, I don't really know, outside of a team that might want to tank, like, what you actually
can get. There's a market for him because he's still a terrific passer. He's still a good playmaker. If you surround him with shooters, you'd be okay. It's just ironic enough. It's like you can build a team around Ben and you can build a team around Joel the same way. You just can't build the team around them both together because Ben does a really good job of passing. He's really great at driving the ball. He's one of the best in the league at driving the lane. But he can't drive the lane if Embiid's in there. So Embiid is constantly creeping out to the three, which is fine because, like, when he takes it, he's a pretty good three-point shooter, but with his size, I mean, you want him down in the block. You want him banging around down there because he is literally unstoppable. He's the closest thing to Shaq that we have had since. So you clog the lane. If he goes to another team where they've got really good perimeter players, he can just drive and just be a facilitator. You can win with him.
Send Ben out to Golden State. Bring Steph back.
Yeah, and it's not impossible. Klay Thompson, he's off there, you know, his second ACL injury. So a name that I saw gotten kicked around, which I actually really like, but again, he's had some injury history. Victor Oladipo, I think, would be a really interesting look because he balls, man. He's got that dog in him, as they all say. He's got the kind of Mamba mentality that you need, and he's lethal shooting. He's a fantastic guard, so I don't know. We'll see. I saw that name kicked around. I saw Dame kicked around. I saw people want Kyle Lowry to come home, him and his dump truck, which is fine. Bring him home. I don't care. He can be a pretty good point guard, but I definitely think It was funny. I was listening to Stephen A. a couple days ago, and he's still plugged into Philadelphia because he loves bragging how he was at the Inquirer for like 17 years. But he was saying how like the city of Philadelphia will never forgive Ben Simmons for this, which I actually think he might be right. I think there's a lot of people that would not forgive him. And then I heard him today on First Take. He said that a close source to Ben Simmons reached out to him and said that Ben just, like all those videos and stuff, like all that stuff, he just not put in the work. Like we all see in the offseason how he's like shooting in the gym, he's putting up threes and everything. According to Stephen A's source, per source, that's very close to Ben Simmons, he does not put in the work. He likes to be, you know, he just has family around him and he likes to be babied, per Stephen A's source. So we can't have that if that really is the case. I think it's pretty much time to move on. I don't see how you can bring him back, but... Anything else Sixers related before we move to some hockey?
No, I mean, it's going to be an easy transition. We're still playing armchair GM, so.
Yeah. Let's move on to, apparently the Flyers are in on Jack Eichel. I didn't know that. I don't really see how it's going to work. I mean, would I love Jack Eichel? Yes. That's not really the issue. It's just trying to make the money work because you'd have, you know, Coots coming up his deal. We're paying Kevin Hayes a lot of money, and then you'd have Eichel. You're going to have like 30 some million dollars tied up in centers, which.
Yeah.
Has a team ever done that? That much money in centers? I remember Kane and Taves were.
Tampa's got to be close between Stamkos,
Point,
Johnson. Like, they're probably. Some combination of their centers probably makes it.
Like 25 million or something?
Something like that. Because they also have, like, Killorn is a wing slash center.
He makes money. Kucherov. Yeah.
Kucherov's pure wing. So, I see what you're saying, though. I mean, but for how many years, though, were the Penguins playing, like,
Stahl,
five guys, yeah. You know, eight plus? And we were always like, how do they manage to do that? Well, it's because they weren't paying the bad players, you know, premium dollar, which has changed in recent years. Now they've been a little more... you know, open with the pocketbooks for the checkbooks for bad players. But yeah, I think so this Eichel stuff all started back, I guess, a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago at this point, when Elliot Friedman reported that the Flyers were one of the teams with enough assets to acquire him.
We technically have the assets to go and get anybody we want right now. So.
Yeah, but I think it was more of like, you know, have the assets and are open.
Yeah.
And then today the discussion was reignited because Adam Herman from Bleacher Report, he's a Rangers writer, he like threw out trade packages from each team allegedly interested in Eichel, and sorry, we just lost Matt. So
yep, we just lost Matt.
We'll bring him back in whenever. Maybe we heard the last from Matt. We'll see.
Let's keep this train rolling. What was the take from Bleacher Report?
So sorry. Anyway, yeah. So it was a list of like teams. It was like the Ducks, the Rangers, basically all the teams that have been linked.
That have draft capital and have, you know.
Yes, and have been linked through either like insider reports or sources. Anyway, so his proposed deal was Travis Konecny, Shane Gostisbehere, Morgan Frost, and the 2021 number 13 pick. I mean, that's
for Jack Eichel. That's
yeah,
nothing.
That's an easy deal for me. Like I don't even think twice about that.
Yeah, you do that in your sleep. There's no way that's the deal.
Now it says, that's his proposed framework. Right. So I don't know. Maybe Nolan Patrick gets added to it. Maybe, you know, a couple sweeteners get thrown in. But
I can't lose Nolan.
Shut up. I think the thing with any Eichel trade is, like, someone made a good point today on Twitter. They were like, no one really knows what the trade would look like because a trade this large for a player this young and this good
hasn't happened.
I mean, when was the last time?
Lindros?
Like maybe.
Just to give people an idea for our younger fans who don't remember that trade, the Flyers sent Peter Forsberg, Hextall, who else? A bunch of other players and like $15 million in cash to Quebec.
Yeah.
Which I don't think you can even do money anymore, can you? No, you can't do that. You
cannot do that.
Ed Snyder popped out his checkbook and wrote a $15 million check to Quebec for Eric Lindros.
But I mean, in terms of the pieces, the value, and the cap, I mean, it all does kind of work out. So as we got Matt back in here, Matt, I don't know if you heard any of that, but maybe
can you hear us, buddy?
Yeah, I can hear you guys.
All right, cool. Okay. Are you still recording?
Yes.
All right, great.
Okay. Perfect. All right, cool. So we might have salvaged this. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see an edit. Here we go. Yeah. Matt, we were talking about before we lost you how, I mean, that kind of center depth, to have all that would be unbelievable, to have Couturier, Eichel, Kevin Hayes is your third line center.
Why not, or just not run Kevin Hayes at center?
Put him at wing?
That's part of flexibility too.
Did he play much wing at all in New York, do you know?
I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't think in college or in Buffalo. But I mean, I don't see how a player with his shooting skill, his vision up the ice, and his like offensive instincts wouldn't just be able to set in easily with.
I'm pulling up Cap Friendly real quick.
Yeah, because I mean,
I think he makes.
The other thing too is like kind of similar to Giroux is when you have multiple centers on the line, you can always have them taking draws on their preferred side. It's not like it's it's whoever's more comfortable being on the wing, and that's the only thing that I worry about is like I would 100% be on board like. I don't know what you guys are mentioning as the pieces. I heard you obviously mentioned like Lindros and how difficult it is to really gauge the value because it hasn't been done in so long. Is like I feel like they would want a young center coming back. That's the only thing that worries me from our perspective is that we don't really have a center. Like Hazy has the no movement clause. Probably
do you
has.
Want to hear?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you want to hear what the talks all kicked off today because Adam Hermanman of Bleacher Report, he's a Rangers writer, he put together like potential packages for each team that's been linked to Eichel, and for the Flyers he said Konechny, Ghost, Morgan Frost, and the 2013 or the 2021-13 overall pick would be like the framework of the deal. So I mean,
I'm fine with that.
You know, Morgan Frost, you keep Patrick, maybe it works out. If not, trade him and recoup the asset that you basically lost for Frost. You could think of it that way. Or trade Patrick and just keep Frost. Like, something like that. I mean, I think that that's definitely doable. I think you probably wind up, there's probably a couple sweeteners have to go in to it beyond that. But, yeah, I mean, the only concern with Eichel is that neck.
The neck, yeah.
Thing, and if we can get any clarity on that at all, I feel like I don't know. Even if like you lose Morgan Frost and Travis Konechny in a deal for Eichel, and you get Eichel at like 75% of what he is now, you're still trading for like a 70-point player, right? So like, even if, like, I mean, is that worth losing Konechny for? Probably, right? I don't know.
I think he'd also help the power play a ton.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, he's a more physical presence, too. He's 6'2". Yeah. He's a beast. If you watch him play, like, he does not get moved off the puck. And it's a different dynamic. And I agree. Like, I like Travis Konechny a lot. But we've spoken about different dynamic. And like you mentioned, I'd be more than fine of replacing Morgan Frost with, like, Nolan Patrick in that deal. But it's almost kind of similar to the deal that you mentioned, Mike, in our group chat last night, which
the probably, Matty Tkachuk deal?
Yeah, I think I really like that deal. Yeah. I think Joe did as well. I mean,
I think I'm in on Matty Tkachuk more than I would be Eichel. So, I mean, I
didn't see the Flyers in on Eichel. Again, I'm all for it. If you can make the dollars work, do it. I mean, that immediately propels this team to Stanley Cup contender if they were to go out and get Eichel. I mean,
at least deep, like, playoff contender.
Yeah.
I think if you make the move for Eichel, you are...
I don't think you can take them from how bad they were this year and then get Eichel and next year, like, they're a Stanley Cup
contender.
But I do see what you're saying.
Yeah, though. There's still issues in goal and on D that we need to correct before that's plausible. Yeah.
But that's the only thing that scares me, is that if you get Eichel, how much money can you have left to play for the defense? I don't know. So,
depends on who you lose to the expansion draft.
Yeah, that there's a lot
like
of.
Like I said, go, a lot of balls Ghost in the air. And Konechny, that cap just about equals out to Eichel, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but so.
Go ahead. You guys take it away with Matty Tkachuk.
Yeah, so I did see Matt Tkachuk is apparently. There's rumors he might want out of Calgary, which would be. I mean, shit. That Calgary might become the next Columbus, so the way things are going. Everybody could just start be asking out. So Mike threw in our group chat a little teaser trade. I'm gonna, let me pull it up real quick. It was Johnny Hockey, of course, coming home. Mark Giordano and Matt Tkachuk for
Was it Konechny, Jake,
it was, Ghost? Yeah, it was for Jake, JVR, Ghost, and a couple picks. So I would assume a first and probably a second.
There was you got to throw in a you probably lose Konechny in that deal too or something like that. You got to lose a young player or major prospect.
So maybe swap a pick for a Konechny. That is a fire wagon change. That is a whole team altering change.
Huge trade.
You don't see those anymore, and I love seeing them. I would be all in on that trade. If you could pull that off, I really like Mark Giordano. I think he's a very good defenseman. I think you pair him with Provorov. Oh, my God. That pair
would be... He's got at least 2 years left, I want to say, of solid hockey. And he would be...
The perfect pair
perfect pair for Provorov, perfect mentor for Provorov of, like, how to, you know, extend your career beyond, you know, its normal longevity. Like, Giordano put up... What did he put up, like... 77 points a couple years ago as like a 35-year-old or something like
wild.
That. Like,
yeah,
I mean, and Matty Tkachuk is probably people sleep on the Tkachuk brothers.
I love his game, man.
They're
gonna
be future faces of the league. They're
he's a point
so
per
nice.
Game winger who brings like obviously there's some antics that like you can probably get tired of if he's taking dumb penalties, but that all comes with the type of player you're getting, and that's kind of what I read as to why there might be some. A little bit of a rift there in that I don't know if it was management or it was the new coaching staff that were telling him to tone down the antics, but that's what makes him such a good player is like when he's on the ice, you have D-men, you have wingers trying to take runs at him, getting out of position. And I mean, it's shown to work. He's been a point per game player seemingly at, I mean, the only difference there is that obviously you're taking on a bigger cap hit, but if you're able to turn around the players that we're turning around, that shouldn't be an issue.
I mean, like, the thing with the style of play, too, like, it's kind of like the Scott Hartnell scale, right? When Scott Hartnell's scoring 25 to 35 goals a season, you're fine with the antics. It's endearing. When he, you know, gets old and his production plummets, then it's old hat. With Tkachuk, though... Like, we didn't have Hartnell until he was, what, 27, 28? Like, he was already in his prime, like, or nearing the end of it, or, like, you know, the
tail end.
Tail end of it. Whereas Matty Tkachuk is 24, 25? How old is he? Like, he's got to be super young.
He's in his prime. He's in his absolute
prime. Yeah, I mean,
prime.
You're getting him for, you know, you're going to get at least 5 prime years, if not closer to 8, maybe. So, I think that's... You know, and plus, the Flyers kind of need that. Like, I'm tired of watching the Flyers get into antics when there's no reason for them to be getting into the antics in the first place, or just not getting into them at all. Like, I want to see a reason for it. And with Tkachuk, you know, the reason is always, I'm just trying to get under the other team's skin. My reason for starting this is because this is my game. Like, the Flyers kind of need that element.
100%.
There's something special when there's a player that can walk that line. Of asshole and just really effective, and he does it very well. Another player is like Marchand, same thing. He walks a line pretty well for at least recently.
For Marchand, he in my opinion he just walks right over the line and like doesn't care. I think that's the difference with him. They just keep letting him get away with it. But I see what you're saying.
Another one like Nazem Kadri, horrible walking the line. He's
horrible
awful
walking the line
in the playoffs.
But
specifically.
I mean. Tkachuk, yeah. Oh my God, yeah. Imagine, he's lost more games in the playoffs than he as to sitting. I mean, as he has played, I think
that's
which
Matt's
is
favorite stat.
It's an insane stat.
I think I said it like 8 times.
I will say this: if you could pull off that trade, I would 1,000% do it. That is a gigantic culture shock, which I think this team desperately needs. You bring Johnny home. I think he'd be really happy playing here. He's got the family and everybody be here. His best friend is goddamn Kevin Hayes. So there you go. You know, Giordano, we already talked about it. Really great pairing for Provorov. And I mean, it's kind of good because listen, if Giordano, you know, if all he's got left in the tank is like 2 years, guess what? you're free after that. You can go off and get somebody else and use that money elsewhere. And Tkachuk is in his prime, and he brings some passion and fire to this team. If you could pull that trade off, man, he's one of those players that occasionally there's a couple around the league that you're like, man, he would really make sense for him to be in a Flyer sweater, just like their game. He's one of them. So plus, he gets under Drew Doughty's skin, which is like really funny.
And
so,
the Flames are in literally like a very similar position to us, is that team has had some success, and then they've had some off years, and there hasn't been consistency with that core. So they're looking for a change, and you have to find those teams. And I mean, I think that's
and they hired that bald eagle Muppet as the coach now, who no one likes.
Best case scenario for why the Flames, more than any team, need a shakeup. I mean, even over the Flyers, like, aren't the Flames three years removed from a season where like three of their players had 100-point seasons or whatever?
Yeah, and Johnny was 99 or something.
Yeah, like, and what did they do? What did they do with that season? Nothing. So like, it's really tough to come back from that. The only team that's in recent years that's come back from like a historic season and then a historic like letdown is Tampa. Like Tampa following up their just embarrassingly bad playoff after a historic season with the Stanley Cup is probably one of the most impressive things.
And they're a prime example mentally too of like how to kind of build a team. There's no perfect science to it, right? Like each team's slightly different. But the one common denominator is it's not a team entirely built through drafting. It's like to get over the hump, they made a move for a defenseman, right? They traded Drouin for Sergachev. They traded, overpaid 100% on Blake Coleman and
Barclay Goodrow.
Yeah, Barclay Goodrow. But it just works for them. Like their defense, they have three good defensemen. And then they
had a huge deal for McDonough.
Yeah,
years ago. Knowing that he would be a part of their Stanley Cup, you know, window. So
yeah, they have like the three, four really good pieces, and they're currently playing like Luke Shen on their bottom pair. I mean, it just goes to show.
Last year they had Bogosian.
Yeah, like Bogosian. Brother. Like you're looking at this team, and as much as we all like, especially myself, like to think, oh yeah, we're just gonna win it with the majority of the players we drafted, like unfortunately, like
that's not how it works.
It doesn't end up working out that way. And then Pittsburgh's done a great job of this as well. The reason they've been able to stay relevant is they've been making deals, and some of them don't work out, obviously, and others do. Like the Joe Marino deal, like low risk, high reward, turned out great for them.
Justin Schultz, remember him? How good he was for them.
Jared McCann. You're talking about these like. As we always talk about, it's funny, like general managers, as much as fans like to think of fair value and things like that, they make stupid decisions all the time. Yeah. And you have to, like, especially at this point where we are as Flyers, as the organization, like what's the worst that happens? He makes a move and it doesn't work out and we're in the same exact spot we would have been anyway. Yeah. If we did nothing.
You have to be, in all things, pretty much in any profession for the most part, any whatever, you have to do what you're doing with a willingness to make a mistake. Yeah. And a willingness to walk away and be like, that didn't work out. But now I know. Now I'll be better for it. Or you know what? Hey, I took a chance with that and it really worked out. I mean, we can wrap this all the way back around. This might be a spot to end on. I don't know. You boys tell me.
But let's hear it.
We can wrap this all the way back around to Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons goes into the lane with a clear lane for a dunk. Maybe he reads it as more pressure than he thinks. Maybe he's like, oh man, you know, I've been really cold. I don't know if this is the time to do it. Let's say he takes the chance on the dunk or the layup. And worst case scenario, he misses it. And the crowd goes, ah, tough. Ah, whatever, tough. At least he took the shot. Best case scenario, he makes it. Even better, it's makes it and one. You know, like.
And he somehow makes it.
Instead, he just. Right. Instead, he just did nothing. Yeah. And everyone's left wondering, okay, what would have happened if you had just taken the chance? I would love to see that from Chuck Fletcher. Sometimes you have to lose some trades to win other ones. I don't know.
There's strategy to that. You know, nothing ventured, nothing gained. So, and you are making a choice by not making a choice.
Yeah.
And I'll say this, that the teams around us continue to get better. Our division continues to get better. I mean, the Rangers, we're wrapping it up here, but they hired Gerard Gallant. Goddamn, he's a good coach, and that team's going to be ready to fucking go. So We cannot be complacent. We cannot be stagnant. Chuck, get on the phone, or I swear. You know what I'll need, by the way? Just this is going to just piss Mike off just for fun. In this Calgary deal, I'm going to need Zach Ronaldo coming back to you.
Shut up, Joe. God damn it. I just saw – did you guys see him quote tweet the
yes.
13 years
always, ago? Always grateful. Yeah. Always grateful.
Yeah. What happened to Ronaldo 2.0, our boy?
Bring me back Rhino, man. I want Rhino.
Tyrell
Goldborn.
The call-up of the century. Hextall's biggest move is GM. And everyone's like, this is going to turn the season around. Oh, he had that big hit in the one game.
Huge hit that led to a goal like 10 seconds later.
That was funny.
That was pretty much it. But yeah, I wanted to say that I want Rhino just to get Mike going. So for Mike, for Matt, for myself, Philadelphia, you know, we might have some tough times, but at least we're not Buffalo fans, right? All right. Take care, guys. We'll see you.